Dad, what's that thing making no sounds?
Why, this is a radio, son.
Whoa, wait, are we live? I wasn't expecting this. Did I miss the invite?
Turn off your radio now!
Am I supposed to be here, or is this one of those accidental guest spots?
Did I just teleport? Oh no, I didn't emotionally prepare for this.
Wow, like I didn't even do a vibe check before arriving. Awkward.
If this is a trap, I'm ready. You can't just pull me into your timeline without consequences.
I'll pretend that was intentional.
Stick around. It's time to peel back the layers of Quartz Junction and see what makes this strange broadcast tick.
Yeah, like what's the deal with the weird desert stories? And why does it sound like it's coming from an old radio? We're gonna find out.
Are we sure this is a good idea? What if people find out it's all, you know, just one person making it up? What if the mystique is ruined? I can't handle the existential fallout of that.
Relax. This is about truth. People need to know who's pulling the strings, or pressing the buttons, as it were.
Let's face it. Some of you have questions. We have answers, or at least we have something vaguely answer-shaped. So, let's meet the creator and unravel this dusty mystery.
Good evening. And welcome to our outdoor event from the North Shore Yacht Club at the Salton Sea. It's your girl here, and let's see what all the fun is about.
Now, the current episode of Quartz Junction is still under final edits. In the meantime, we thought it might be a good idea to slow down, take a breath, and meet the creator behind this surreal broadcast. What exactly is Quartz Junction? Is it a story, a broadcast, or both? How did it come to be, and why does it feel like an AM radio signal sent from a parallel desert dimension? So, welcome, and listen to our panel pose questions to this podcast creator to find out what it's all about.
So, what exactly is Quartz Junction? Is it a story, a broadcast, or both?
Quartz Junction is an Arizona story. It's a broadcast that comes through on your 529 AM dial. And if you can't catch the signal, visit quartzjunction.blog to find links to all of the major podcast platforms. It's a mix of storytelling, satire, a sound collage, and it blends the elements of old AM radio nostalgia with a modern hi-fi surreal twist. It's both a narrative and a broadcast, creating a unique listener's experience.
How did you come up with the concept for Quartz Junction?
The name Quartz Junction, it comes from the region itself. It's imaginary, it's mystic. And quartz is an iconic rock found in Arizona, and it's basically worthless. But Quartz Junction combines the diverse desert areas of the Sonoran Desert, and it represents a place where surreal stories converge. The idea came from the concept of a mysterious signal that blends both myth and reality as if the desert itself is telling stories through a forgotten radio frequency. Yes, you're on the 27 Bravo Report. Who am I speaking to?
This is Michael out in Taliesin West.
Go ahead, Michael. What do you have for us?
Yes, that's right. It definitely had eyes. Made this weird mechanical noise, too, like it was sizing me up. Then it just started hovering around.
Now, we were outside having a barbecue on my streamlined modern grill. My wife looks up and sees these sparkling lights. Just kind of sprinkling around up there.
Years. These drones, showing up all over Quartz Junction, they're part of a larger global takeover.
Why the AM radio format?
The AM radio vibe is a nod to retro culture, which reflects this nostalgic feel. And retro culture is an emerging movement, and it was written about and documented in a book entitled Retro Culture, and it's by William S. Lind. He's a retired military strategist of all things, and he has spent his life developing military strategy. And a lot of his research and findings showed this emerging movement. And it's fascinating. And personally, I'm knees deep in this thing. And AM radio frequencies, they just fit. They're a bit rough around the edges, but they're charming. And AM broadcasts, they have this lonely, wandering energy about it that matches the unpredictable spirit of Quartz Junction. So there's just something about static and fuzz of an AM radio that makes storytelling feel more timeless. You can't help but think about maybe spending days with your grandmother listening to old, you know, Paul Harvey stuff at night and things like that. Or maybe the you know, in my case, it was like the Dodgers and the Angels baseball. So everybody, Gen X and older, can tell you cool stories about that.
What kind of world is Quartz Junction, and why is it unpredictable?
Well, it's a resilient desert town where logic bends and odd events happen without explanation. Very similar to Alice in Wonderland, one of my personal favorite stories.
I'm technically an influencer. I, like, influence product placements nobody asked for. I mean, people totally buy what I'm selling via PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay, Cash, Bitcoin, Ethereum.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Stucco.
Stucco who?
Stucco influencer. I stick to anything trending.
You're adorable, but also tragic.
You know, the chaos, it's intentional. And new listeners, they should expect to be confused, because that's part of the experience. It's like stumbling into a strange community and trying to make sense of it as you go along. And this unpredictability, it mirrors how myths and local legends evolve, and it blends truth with absurdity. And if you think about it, that's kind of how reality works. Nothing's consistent. It's all over the map. No one's really truly consistent, are they? I mean, we all have contradictions, and it's part of what makes us who we are.
How do you see Quartz Junction evolving?
Well, it's a living project that's going to grow and change naturally, just like the characters and the story within it. And as the town's lore deepens, new stories and new characters will emerge. And this is what will evolve that narrative landscape. But, you know, the promise here is there's not going to be any characters' cousins coming down, and there's not going to be any jumping the shark or anything like that. It's not about forcing growth. It's about letting this story breathe and adapt. You know, and it's a personal art project of mine. There's not a financial incentive to it. And it's a showcase. It's a showcase of what I do as an amateur. Because that's what I am. I'm an amateur. I'm a proud amateur, by the way. Amateur is kind of a... Amateur doesn't get a fair shake in the world as we know it today. The word amateur comes across as uneducated or dumb. Well, my challenge is go up to a ham radio operator and challenge them on radio. I can guarantee you that any ham radio operator can walk into a radio station and educate everybody in there. That's an amateur radio guy. And that's kind of like the way that I approach this, and that's how it's going to evolve. It's evolving because I'm going to evolve, and these characters and the stories are going to evolve, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just going to be nothing but fun, and I'm excited about that.
And, like, how do you create the soundscapes?
That's a really good question. And it's actually the funnest, one of the funnest parts is creating these soundscapes. And the soundscapes come from so many sources. Currently, it's coming from a combination of CDs that I've bought over the years, like on vendors like eBay and Mercari and in, you know, even in Mesa, record stores out in Mesa. I forget the name of the big record store out here. Zia, you know, I've bought some at Zia Records and Half Price Books. So I've got this collection of sound effects CDs, and usually, like, when you get these CDs, there's maybe, you know, six of them that are worth keeping around. So you're spending a lot of hours sifting through this stuff. And then I've also tapped into some online subscriptions that are, I would put links to those subscriptions, but I'm not exactly happy with them. And I have plans to build more personal kits, and I'm going to be sharing those online. I have some, you know, hardware recording equipment set up and ready to go. It's just a matter of me getting out into the atmosphere and getting some of this stuff laid down. You know, I'm a huge proponent of Creative Commons licensing and open source software. So I feel, you know, if you do, you know, use any open source or Creative Commons licensing, you know, it's, you always want to give that credit. But that's just kind of what I'm using right now to create these ambiences. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And I do a lot of contrasting between like lo-fi and hi-fi, you know, fake radio segments, fake radio stations, fake radio shows. And it's completely intentional. And, you know, you'll want to use high quality where it counts and low, you know, lo-fi where, you know, it enhances something you're trying to get across. In a lot of cases, you know, you just want this kind of like old feel to it. And that's the goal, right? The goal is to make it feel tangible and dreamy, a lot like a desert mirage.
Why do the characters feel so chaotic?
Well, the characters are definitely chaotic, and they are evolving organically. They embody specific moods or perspectives. It's really, a lot of this stuff is inspired by older variety shows, such as Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, SCTV's another. But the energy really, you know, comes from like Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, and also Hullabaloo is another, a Shindig, you know, these kind of go-go dancer stuff, high energy, you know, keep moving, don't stop, kind of chaotic world. Not a lot of rules in those shows at that time. It was super, it must have just been a super cool time to be a young adult, right, during those days, because, you know, the, you know, we're, right now we're experiencing a similar deal with technology. There's this leap going on in technology that we're all sitting in, and it's amazing. But I mean, back then, that energy that people were, and, you know, particularly in Southern California, Los Angeles, you know, the Whiskey a Go Go and all those great clubs from those days before, like, the Doors and stuff arrived. You know, you just had this just crazy, you know, fast-paced world. And Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, you know, got onto that. And that's why these characters contradict each other and themselves, because, you know, we're, you know, like I was saying before, we're just inconsistent. And it's part of what makes up the humor and the humanity of the show itself.
Is all the music original?
Almost all of the music is original. And it's focused, you know, to be diverse and dynamic and just create these big soundscapes. And I blend these genres of music to make the experience unpredictable and lively. The, you know, to aim to evoke like a sense of place, mood, and a shift between like rock music, which would be, you know, like Deep Purple, you know, UFO style guitar driven rock and roll, or maybe some Little Richard style, and then some go-go jingles, go-go dance music jingles, and maybe some eerie ambience. You know, I mess around with a lot of these synthesizer, you know, and it's an old synthesizer that I play. It's a Radio Shack, like 1990s synth, and I love it. I've had other synthesizers, and I've just always come back to this guy. And, you know, it's an answer, really, to current entertainment, movies, podcasts, and other forms of media where you just hear this music. It's very underwhelming, and it's vocally driven. It's like a singer all the time, singing over the top, and it's annoying. And, you know, I come from the old, you know, Ennio Morricone composer-driven music, or, you know, even like movies like 2001 A Space Odyssey, where the music is just driving the emotion. And that's what I'm going for with the music. And, you know, a good example is the movie Death Rides a Horse, where Lee Van Cleef is just on this horse and he's just blasting across the Spanish desert with these massively, you know, pointed, you know, mountain peaks. And this opera is just behind him screaming. The singers are, they're not singing lyrics. So they're singing lyrics, but it's probably in Italian. And it's just, you really can't understand what the words are. You can just hear the dynamics of their voices and the music under it, and it's staticky because it was recorded on cheap equipment, and it's just amazing. And we just don't have that in music or in movies and anymore, and podcasts and things like that. A lot of the music in podcasts is very, you know, generic. They go onto an open source website and they download it and throw it over the top. And I want to change that. I want to make it where this stuff just grabs you. I want you to just not want to watch video. You know, that's what it really comes down to. I just want you to tap into your imagination and throw out the whole video thing for a minute. That's really what the goal is.
Is this just a passion project?
It's nothing but a passion project. It's a creative outlet. And it's going to grow in unexpected ways because it's just coming out of my head. And some people don't quite get that, and it's okay. I sent this out to quite a few people and said, hey, can you just reflect on this and tell me? And I got a lot of non-responses. So I know it's not landing well. And that's okay because it's a passion project for me. I don't care. I mean, I care, but I don't care. I wanted some reflection. So a good friend of mine, another fellow musician, a very respectful friend, he got back with me on it, and he had, you know, told me, you know, that the music had taken him to certain, you know, places and things like that. And he just gave me some good criticism about it. And another criticism I got was from my family. So, like, my mom and my sister, for example. My sister just didn't get back with me on it at all, but she told my mom, I don't understand what he's trying to do. You know, she's just really, you know, my sister's always been that way about me. You know, she's just been very like, yeah, I don't know what you're doing. Whatever. And my mom, you know, explained it to me. But my mom even told me, you know, I don't know what you're trying to do. And I tried to explain the podcast. She goes, well, maybe I'll go listen again, now that you've kind of explained it. And so that's kind of like what gave me the idea to even just do this goofy, you know, fake format or fake interview format to kind of explain away what in the world this podcast is about, because it's throwing you mid-story. you don't really know what's going on, and it's chaotic, and people don't understand it, and it's offbeat, and it's offbeat, and it's unique, and so, but you know, it's about embracing your weirdness, and to me, it's a liberating thought to not worry about strict definitions or expectations. That's what I love about this, and it's going to showcase what I can do, and that's really what it really comes down to. As an amateur, I want to be able to show what an amateur can do, you know, in their room, and help others achieve that. And there's, in fact, there's going to be mention of it at the end of this, that if you are a hobbyist, there's ways to do this artwork that'll make you happy and not feel like you have to compete with, you know, some, you know, big studio in Los Angeles or something like that.
How would you describe Quartz Junction if it were a person?
If Quartz Junction were a person, I would say it's a very troubled soul. Not me, though. But seriously, it's chaotic. It's fun. It's funny. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a reflection of what goes on in Arizona life. The mention, right, of this mysterious H-O-A. You know, everybody in Arizona and the American Southwest knows what these are, right? They know what HOAs are. And we don't have to have them. That's what's so funny about it. We don't have to live in stucco tough sheds with styrofoam and ceramic roofs. But yeah, your HOA comes along and they demand that. They demand that you live that way. And it's just, it's bizarre. It's bizarre that we restrict ourselves to these things. It makes no sense to me. And that's why I say, you know, Quartz Junction, if it was a person, it would be a troubled soul. Because I don't understand that about human beings, why we purposely restrict ourselves. We kill the fun, you know what I mean? We kill our fun. I believe when you go to work, you got to be serious about it and work hard and put in that time. But when you're done, you need to make best of what you've got with the time that you have. And I don't know, we do dumb things. You know, we make HOAs. We sick ourselves after ourselves. But, you know, that's kind of like what this podcast is. It's rewriting its own narrative and broadcasting it out to the void and hoping somebody will pick up on that 529 AM signal and tune in.
And there you have it, a glimpse into the mind behind Quartz Junction. Whether it's a story, a broadcast, or both, it's a world where sound and imagination meet in the desert's strangest corners. Thanks for sticking with us, and remember, sometimes the signal's a little fuzzy, but the message is always clear. Stay tuned for the next broadcast and keep questioning this data.
Are you an audio hobbyist or an amateur frustrated with your audio projects? Maybe you're looking for a community where passionate creators share the ins and outs of making unique soundscapes. The Quartz Junction podcast was crafted using hardware recording devices, no computer audio interfaces, assembled on a budget-friendly DAW, which is pronounced as DAW, called Reaper. If you're working from your bedroom studio and feeling stuck, you're not alone. Join the GunterSounds.net community and subscribe to the Gunter Sounds podcast, where being a proud audio engineer amateur is more than just a passion. It's a philosophy.
Turn off your radio now!